Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
As I told a Muslim one time, a couple years back or so, I asked him, I said, "Do you pray to your God?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Does your God speak back?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Well, I wouldn't pray to a God that doesn't talk back." Amen. People have funny ideas about how the Lord speaks and how he speaks back. But I have a God that speaks, and I fellowship with him and sup with him, and he with me. I'm in him and he's in me. Amen. We become one. Hallelujah. I love him. The more I learn, the more I know him, the more I love him, the more I appreciate him. And the farther I go and the bigger I get, the smaller I feel. Amen. We're serving an awesome God. So 1 Thessalonians, let's turn over to the 4th chapter. Might do a little reading and speak with you a little bit if the Lord allows, and the Lord will speak to us. Amen. And I know, brothers and sisters, I get you to come out many times. I read a chapter in the Bible, and sad to say, that's all the Bible reading some get. And that's a bad testimony for you. But I do that. The Lord dealt with me years ago about doing that. A lot of times I try to do that. And sometimes the Lord don't even go down the trails of the chapter that we read. But a lot of times we open up our Bible and read and possibly expound on it some. And as the Lord leads. Amen. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. I'm going to expound a little because there's some things that the Lord dealt with me about in this passage of Scripture. You hear me say so oftentimes that sometimes we read the Word and we just kind of read by it, and we don't really ponder on the mind of God in it, or why these things were expressed, or why the brethren that were speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and why they say the things that they say. But he says here again, I'm going to read this first verse. It says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ." So the exhortation came from where? Jesus. Amen. It says that you have received of us how you ought to walk to please God, so ye would abound more and more. So what is the purpose of them preaching? Who is benefiting? Sometimes, you know, the people don't really see that they're the benefactor of the gospel and of the preaching of God's word. You know, like, what's this preacher's motivation? Why is he preaching this? Or they think that many times it's for his own gains himself. And believe me, I gain, brothers and sisters, out abundantly from preaching God's word by yielding to the God's spirit and God's word. He blesses me abundantly. I mean abundantly. God's blessings are so awesome. Amen. And I appreciate them. And you might be looking for those blessings on this side, but brothers and sisters, the abundance of blessings for me through all of eternity are so rich and so pure. The things that you see with your eyes are all temporal. Amen. And I rejoice in them. I thank God for my home. I thank him for my transportation. I thank him for my clothing. If it came from Goodwill or JCPenney's, it don't matter. I thank him. Praise God. It says, "For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, and we also have forewarned you and testified." So we find right here in the first 6 verses that the brethren has spoke several times, at least 3 times right here in those first verses, about how they've exhorted, how they've spoken, how they've taught. And it says from the Lord. So we find exhortation. We say, "Well, you know, I'm not in fornication. So, you know, I haven't done my brother wrong." So you think, well, this might not apply to you because you keep yourself from those things. You know, but brothers and sisters, there is things in our lives that we wouldn't even think would be offensive to God because we don't see and won't walk in the measures and the places that we should be in. But we find that they could be so offensive to the Spirit of God and to the mind of Christ. And we walk sometimes so shallow that we don't see these offenses and these things. You know, I'm not a fornicator. You know, I'm not defrauding my brother in any way. Verse 6 again says that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Many times when the ministers preach, people despise. Think, oh man, I don't agree with that. I don't like that. I don't have to listen to that. No, that's his ideas. But what they don't realize is they're doing that unto the Lord. Amen. But it's touching brotherly love. You need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Do you believe we can walk in a place of such? We surely can, brothers and sisters. We don't want to defraud. We don't want to bring reproach. There's many that need to study what it means to study to be quiet. Sometimes we have, like the Bible says, busybodies. They want to be in everybody's business and know everything that's going on with everybody, but they're not walking where they ought to with the Lord. Verse 12 says, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may lack of nothing. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We wherefore comfort one another with these words. You know, this is a very taught doctrine through many of the denominational churches and pretty much taught throughout. You know, we talk about the catching up, or we talk about the rapture, being caught up with the Lord and with him and dwelling there with him. Again, as we look over this passage of scriptures, there's so many things, brothers and sisters, that we pass over when we read it. We look at it and we don't really apply it into the thing. I'm going to back all the way up to verse 4, and I'm going to come all the way back down to the latter part of this chapter and speak about a couple things here. If we go back to 4, it says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. People don't know how to possess their own vessel. It says in sanctification. We've done quite a bit of teaching on sanctification here in this church. We say sanctification, justification, and glorification. And we might understand that. We could say, man, I've been indoctrinated and I understand sanctification. I understand these dimensional teachings of it. But as he's talking about possessing a vessel in sanctification is a work that comes to a manifestation. Now, when we think of justification, we know it's the spirit work. But when we think of justification, we find that we're justified by the works of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. So we find that justification is a work that's in the spiritual realm. Jesus manifested in a bodily perspective to take the punishment and the torment to himself in a physical way, that we would be justified, brothers and sisters. Now the thing is that we know that there's no justification to the flesh outside of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Amen? So the thing is, when we again look at justification, we're talking about a work that is in the Spirit. I'm justified by the works of Christ at Calvary. I'm hid away by the works of Christ at Calvary. I'm sealed in by the works of Jesus Christ at Calvary, hid away with him. Amen? So, I'm justified in the Spirit. Now we're talking about sanctification. Now, sanctification has to do with the second dimension, or we say the soul realm or the second heaven. Now, if this is the case, You see, the Bible talks about the saving of the soul. So now, if I'm speaking of the saving of the soul, and I'm speaking about sanctification, and I'm speaking about how I'm to possess my vessel, so is this work in the soul realm is where the illumination comes from, is where there's an illumination. Now, in the second heaven realm, the illumination is what people see by looking at you. Now, if I went to a light bulb, to keep things a little bit simple tonight, I would say that the shell of this light bulb has to do with the bodily realm. The electricity that goes to the light has to do with the spirit. But the little filament inside that light has to do with the soul. It's what illuminates. Now, the illumination is something inside this bodily perspective to bring forth an illumination. The electricity that goes forth, you remove the electricity and the power of the light bulb is useless. It's nothing good. It's dead without the electricity. You see, you remove the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, away, and you pull that away, there is no illumination. It's darkness. This is why the gross darkness will consume this world, because the Spirit of God pulls out. So if we look at the element inside the second heaven, the element, this part within the soul, brings forth an illumination. Now the thing is that the possession of this vessel, if we don't know how to possess this vessel, in sanctification means there will be no illumination. Do you understand what I'm saying? If we want to illuminate, the illumination is light, understanding, revelation, and this illumination eradicates darkness and pushes darkness away. So we have to bring forth an illumination of Christ, the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to bring this illumination through sanctification, because it has to do with that dimension. Now, we know that light has to do with the Spirit. We can't take and remove the light of the Spirit. We can't remove the electricity. We know that's the source and the power. But for the people of this world to see it, it has to come through the soul and illuminate that they can perceive and understand and see. They can't see the electricity. You can't see the electricity. You can't see the Spirit of God. But you can see the effects. Remember the other day when we was reading and keeping things again simple again, and we was reading about born again. And we went over to the three and it said it's like the wind. You don't know where it comes from or where it goeth, but you do see the results of the wind. You see the trees move. You feel the friction of it. You could feel the resistance. If the wind was blowing, say, 30 mile an hour outside, and you walk out the door and you stand still, that wind's going by you at 30 mile an hour, and the way you know that is the resistance that you have against it. But if you would put yourself in a hot air balloon and got up just a little bit above the earth in a hot air balloon, guess what there would be? No wind. Zilch. No wind. There would be no wind. You would be just moving right with it. You would be flowing right with it. And you would feel no wind. You would be standing there in this hot air balloon, and your hair would be hanging right down on your face, because there would be no wind. You see? So what made you realize that there was wind was the resistance of the wind when you were not moving with it. You see? There's a lot that could be said right there. So what does that have to do with this illumination, you might say, or with this thing? We're speaking about the Spirit. When this thing was moving with the wind, there's no wind. And when you're in the Spirit and moving with the Spirit, brothers and sisters, there would be no resistance whatsoever at all. But the resistance comes through another source, and it will come through that carnal mind of resistance and that thing that would come against God. Now, so we keeping things again simplistic. We talk about the electricity showing the Spirit, showing the light. We're just speaking parabolically or allegorically for understanding's sake. And then we find that it comes into this little element with inside this light, and it causes illumination. And we have this body that holds around it to keep the atmosphere right with inside the globe, and this shell or this little body. Now we understand you in a body, soul, spirit. The Spirit, if you remove the Spirit now from you as an individual, your body's dead. There's nothing there to you. The Bible said that when that body leaves, or to be absent from that body, it's death to that body. It's dead. So, the same way, we're using the light bulb. We understand you as a body, soul, spirit. So the Spirit brings forth the power. It's the life. And it's manifesting through the soul. Now, when we go into the soul realms, there's actually three different spirits that want to use your, come through your soul to utilize your body. Now, there's a dispute for the body. I could go into a lot of teaching tonight on the dispute for the women and dispute for the body. But there's these three spirits that want to use your body. If I was going to talk to you about demon possession tonight, it would cause people to fall back or get paranoid or pull back. This is something that is a daily occurrence that happens with everybody. I don't care how good of a Christian you are. I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care how long you've walked with the Lord. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. I don't care how many hours you speak in tongues. I don't care about those things. I'm telling you that you are going to be one that is susceptible to these spirits. And these spirits are wanting to utilize your body. Now, I've said these things in times past, I know, but when we think of spirits, they're from an invisible dimension and realm. To you as a man or a woman, these spirits are invisible. You will not see them. Now, God is an invisible God. The Bible says the Father is invisible that no man has seen. But then yet, as the wind, as I said, is invisible, that you don't know where it comes from or where it goes, but you find what happens when it moves with the friction things. You know what the wind is doing. You see the trees. You see the action of it. Now, when you say that you have God's Spirit, there's going to be a manifestation or something is an action that can be seen if you have God's Spirit. If you say it's windy outside, I can go outside and tell you real quick. You say you've got God's Spirit, I'm going to see something, brothers and sisters, from the action of that Spirit. When we think again of these three spirits, now they're invisible, but they're looking for a place to manifest. So you say, what are these spirits? Well, there's the spirit of your human spirit. When you as a man are born, you've got a human spirit there. And if you yield your members only to your human spirit, you'll find yourself in trouble with God. Amen. Because that spirit has to be married. And it's going to be married, brothers and sisters, one way or another. It's going to be one with the spirit of God or one with Satan. Now we're talking about all three spirits. We find this human spirit and we find this spirit of God and we find the spirit of the God of this world, the spirit of Satan. Now the thing is let's first talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and talk about the Spirit of Christ. The Bible said the same Spirit that dwelled within Jesus Christ shall dwell in you, in your mortal body. And it'll change you in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and raise you up from the dead. We just read here in Thessalonians about this change. We talked about them that have gone on to sleep. If you take the ones that you called dead or died, we say no, if they're in Christians, they've gone on to sleep. Now the thing is this Spirit, the same Spirit that dwelled within Jesus Christ will come and redeem that individual. They're already present with the Lord when they've left this body. Their spirit's already sealed in and present with the Lord. It never left there. You understand that? But that Spirit will come and redeem that body from corruptible and change it into incorruption. Now that's the change to the body. Now, if we were going to talk about the term rapture, we have a rapture of the Spirit already happened. We have a daily rapture that has to do with the soul. That's where we're daily caught up to the throne through sanctification and possessing our vessel. And then we have the bodily rapture, which is a collective thing. It's a one-time deal that we just read about here. And it's where those that are dead in Christ, they will all rise together at a collective time, a one-time deal, that body's redeemed back and taken to purchase possession. So I know there's a lot said there, and I said I was going to keep things simple, and that truly is simple, but then yet it would take to really understand that possibly a little more time to speak about it. But we're going to finish speaking about these three spirits that are wanting to manifest themselves within this vessel. We say possessing our vessel. If we're going to speak again possession of vessel, who's going to possess it? If you yield your vessel only to the members of your mind, and if you had the ability to do that, and not allow God to use your vessel or Satan to use your vessel, I can say this, that you're lost. And you'd do something that I don't think anybody's ever done. I had a man say to me one time, he heard me doing some teaching similar to what I'm teaching. He said, hey, look, he said, I'm the one that uses my life. I do what I want. I go where I want. I say what I want. You know, there ain't no devil using this and that. And that just was a manifestation of a perfect proof the man was full of the devil. And I'm sorry to say it like that, but that's what the man was. You see, because he's just blind. He doesn't see. These spirits are invisible. Now, again, I'll start with the Lord Jesus Christ and make sure you listen to the end of the matter about what I'm going to say here. And you've heard me say these things, I know, before, but I want you to listen closely. The thing is Jesus can do nothing in this dispensation of grace right now. The grace is the blood and on the mercy seat, and he can do nothing. Now, I'm going to say some things that are going to probably cause you to kind of draw up maybe for a minute, but hear the end of the matter, please. If Jesus could do something right now, and I'm saying he can't do nothing, And you say, ah, wait a minute, he's God. He could do all things. He could do anything he wants. Well, if he could do something, then I'm going to have a bone to pick with him. When he allows these little children to be molested and raped and ravished, I'm going to have a bone to pick with him when I get these reports of these women, innocent women being raped by these beasts and these immoral bunch of perverts out there. And I'm going to say something to him when these mothers yield themselves over to darkness and they take and drown their children and cut their throats and do all those things. Now, if your God can do something and doesn't do something, then how can you even serve a God like that and want to live in eternity with him if he's allowing these things to happen? So now we've got to understand what I just said. Number one was we're in a dispensation of grace. And if God stepped up to take and bring a stop to that and bring judgment to that, he is a just God and he's got to bring judgment to the whole world. So we know that in the dispensation of grace, that if he brings judgment, that he brings judgment to the whole world and there won't be any saved. Amen. So by the mercies of God, he doesn't see what the things are going on in this world because he's not the God of this world. Satan is the God of this world according to the Bible. If you had read your Bibles, that's what the Bible says, that Satan is the God of this world, the prince and the power of this air. So the thing is if God was going to intervene in this, he would bring judgment to the whole world, and he's not going to intervene. So the thing is these spirits have their free reign to and fro the earth, and they're looking for a place of inhabitation. The Bible talks about a person that comes that's possessed by a devil, and you take authority in the name of Jesus Christ and cast this spirit out of that individual, and you cast that devil out of him. That devil will leave that individual, and it'll say it goes out into the dry places, seeking for a place of inhabitation. And then what it'll do is go get seven more just like him. And he will come back to this individual. And he's going to come back with seven more to this individual that you cast the devil out. And if that place isn't found, filled with the Spirit of God, it will come back in the end of the matter. The Bible said that person is seven times worse than it was. I could go into a lot of teaching right there on that. And I try to watch that as a minister very carefully because I know I've got authority and power over the devil. But sometimes you could take authority and power. The Bible says lay hands on no man suddenly. And you could take authority and power over a devil and that thing leaves. But that person lied to that spirit. And when it leaves, it gets restraint and reinforcement. And when it comes back because that person hasn't tired of that devil and they yield to that thing, then the end of the matter is worse and that person will be worse. And you've absolutely done nothing as a minister except make the end of the matter worse for that person. This is why you got to be careful who you lay hands on and how you take authority. And many times when you watch that spirit, they'll pull back. You'll see them pull back and hide in that individual. And I'm talking about discernment and watching things by the Spirit of God. Now we're talking about spirits. So we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said he can't do anything, but he can do something through the body of Christ. Through my confession, I am bone and bone and flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm the body of Christ in the earth. If you are a Christian, then you're the body of Christ also in the earth. The Bible said a many-membered body. Now the thing is that my human spirit is going to use my body to speak, to move, to do what it desires to do. If it's hungry, it's going to move it to the refrigerator. If it wants to go for a drive, it'll take it to the car. But it's going to utilize this body. Now the thing is if I can say that I'm the body of Christ, then the thing is the spirit, the same spirit that dwelt within Jesus Christ is going to dwell in my mortal body. And it's going to utilize my body. Amen. To do what? The same thing that Jesus did. The Bible says we'll be about the Father's business. That's what he was. So we're going to be soul winners. Amen. And we're going to go forth to win souls into the kingdom of God and give our body as a living sacrifice is what the Bible says. So I'm started out speaking about this Jesus that can do nothing, but then I'm talking about one that can do something. We're talking about a God that is, a God that was, and a God that is to come. Now the thing is, in the God that is going to be manifesting in his body, and we're the body of Christ. The people are looking for this corporate body of the Lord Jesus Christ that walked among men. This is a God that was. And we could say this is a God that's going to come again in like manner that you've seen him ascend in. It says, while you gaze here into the earth, in like manner that you've seen him go, he will come back in like manner. And this is the God that is to come. But the God that is, brothers and sisters, is the God that when he said it's expedient to go back to the Father, he's sent back. It's the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it comes into a many-membered body, and we be in the body of Christ. And this is the only way that that God could move today. Now, I can tell you this, as the Spirit of God is in me, and I saw one of these individuals, beasts, that was going to ravish a woman or a child. Believe me, God's going to do something. Now we're talking about God doing something today. When I see people that don't have no concern for their own life, God's going to do something through me. He's going to speak to bring them to a knowledge of the truth, that they might receive the ministering of the Word of God, that they might have fear and take fear and serve God. I'm explaining to you these differentiations of the spirit world. So I said this God can't do nothing until he comes into a body. Now we talk about a devil that came to kill, steal, and destroy. And I say he can't do nothing. But then yet he's the same way. He's looking for a place of inhabitation, a place that he could utilize. Now the carnal mind is taken into the will of the devil. The carnal mind is enmity with God. The carnal mind is death. And when you're natural-minded and you're carnal-minded all the time and thinking of fleshly things and worldly things and carnal things, then you're going to find that Satan found him a door that's open, that he could come in and sup with you and fellowship with you, and he will use your body. Now we got one that could kill, steal, and destroy because now he has a body to manifest in. And you say, well, I've never killed anybody. Are you sure? The Bible said that some, yet they pierce him through today. They've tread his blood under their feet. The Bible said that they crucify him afresh. Do you think that you could be guilty of killing the Lord and never had a weapon, a carnal weapon? The Bible said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You see, I could take a sword of the Spirit and I could take a devil's head off and you never saw nothing in my hand. But it was the sword of the Spirit, the same one that proceeded out of the mouth of God when we go on and read about this returning of the Lord. And it talks about a double-edged sword, brothers and sisters. So you see, we think carnally sometimes. We think, well, I've never killed anybody, when you could be guilty. I've never put anybody to death, but you could be guilty. I've never drank a drop of alcohol, but you could be numbered as a drunk by being drunk on the things of this world. You see, brothers and sisters, you could say, I'm hungry, I haven't eaten. I say, you're full on the things of the world. Your appetite has been well satisfied. You see, this is why we speak dimensionally, brothers and sisters, because people are always looking into the wrong dimension, the wrong realm and the wrong thoughts when there's something else that's taking place right in their midst and they're not looking or observing. You see, brothers and sisters, this is why we've got to learn to possess our vessel as we're reading about here. The possession of this vessel. How do I possess this vessel? What does it mean to do this? You see, how do I do this? What do I do to have this? You see, and who's possessing this vessel? You see, again, as I said, a man that can control his own spirit is like a city with a broken down wall. What does a city with a broken down wall mean? It means that the walls are down and it's just anything can come in and go as it pleases. There's people like that. They're so natural, so carnal, so worldly that walls are broken down and they got spirits of anger just walk in and all of a sudden they have uncontrollable rage and anger just like that. You find these saints just boom like that in their life. All of a sudden they seem to be fine one minute and they're just angry, man, and mad just the next thing. Because they don't possess their vessel. A man that can't control his spirit is like that. They're just going to pow. All of a sudden there's bitterness. All of a sudden there's anger. All of a sudden there's hate, animosity. All of a sudden there's railing and wrath and vengeance and swearing and cursing and mumbling and complaining. All these things are fleshly. And we have to possess our vessel that these things don't come. What are those things? They're spirits. You see, those are spirits. Well, I didn't think they were spirits. I thought it's spirits. That's what they are. They're demon spirits. They're devils. And we got to know how to possess our vessel and say, no, devil, you ain't going to use my life. We guard over it. We guard over our mind. We guard over our soul. We guard over this thing. We don't just open it up to anything that comes in. If you start yielding over to carnality, you start yielding over to anger, start yielding over to wrath, start yielding to vengeance, start yielding to those things and bitterness and hatred and animosity and tailbearing and strife, you start yielding that. Those are spirits. And all of a sudden, you're not possessing your vessel. Demons are possessing your vessel. And they're just taking your life and they're using it for their glory. To bring shame, to bring reproach. Amen? That's what they do. so we don't want to defraud our brethren. I said, man, I ain't defrauded nobody. But brothers and sisters, what you've done to the least of these, my brethren, is what you've done unto me. Sometimes we don't think we're defrauding nobody. We defrauded the Lord in such a way because we didn't possess our vessel in the way that we should. So as we find here, again, we look at these things, you say, well, so I find that if you hear a man speaking, is it his body speaking? What's speaking when a man speaks? It's the Spirit. What Spirit is speaking? The Bible said, try the Spirit and see if it would be of God. This man says he's a preacher. Is it God speaking through him? Or is it the man's ideas and ideologies speaking through him, the study of his own ideas? Is it the man's thoughts, the man's ways, the man's desires, the man's ambitions, the man's lust, the man's greed, the man's motivations? Is that what's speaking? Is it doctrines of a man or is it doctrines of God? Which one is it of? When the Bible even tells us not to even turn away from the doctrine of men, not to turn away from those doctrines that even come from men. If the man is preaching something that's right and edifying and holy and godly and pure, and you can say, well, this is a doctrine of man, we can't turn away from that according to the Scriptures. But then yet there's other Scriptures, line upon line, precept upon precept. And it talks about doctrines of men as a negative perspective. You see, there are doctrines of men that infiltrate through that man, and he yielded himself over to the members of the devil, and he let Satan speak to them, and they've made it into a doctrine, and the whole church world is fallen away, not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just in speaking, we find that these three spirits are wanting to manifest. God wants to manifest to you. He wants to manifest to me. Wants to manifest to this world. Wants to reveal himself. We say, pray that God would grant unto us the spirit of revelation. What is the spirit of revelation? It's the revealing of God. The revealing of Jesus Christ. Pray that God would grant unto you the spirit of revelation. The revealing of Jesus Christ. The Bible said the revelation of Jesus Christ, amen. So I want to yield this vessel right here to Jesus Christ, that he could speak through this vessel, that he could possess this vessel, and that he could live in this vessel, and he could speak through this vessel, he could walk through this vessel. You understand that? I'm talking about possessing this vessel. Now I want to yield it to the Lord Jesus Christ, that I would be numbered as the body of Christ, amen. I found myself to be crucified with Christ, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. In the Son of God. Again, faith is the substance, hope for things not seen. But I'm going to bring that by faith to a substance of something that's seen, something that is tangible, so to speak, something that we can see, touch, and hold. Manifestation. You see, does Jesus need to be manifested in the Spirit? He knows who he is. He's all power, all authority. Amen. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, has all authority over all principalities and powers, all dominions, all things visible, all things invisible. But we need to see him manifested, brothers and sisters, in this world, for he can take authority in this world and redeem them out of this world. So we are the body of Christ in this world. We are bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, the body of Christ. We are the salvation to this world, the ambassadors from heaven, the ambassadors for Christ. We condescend to men of less estate in this world to bring forth the glory of God, the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, who's possessing this vessel? We say, it's no longer I that lives, but now it's Christ that lives in me. The life that I now live, I live by faith. Okay, so if I'm living by faith, then this faith is going to be an evidence. What is an evidence? A manifestation. So this faith is going to bring an evidence or a manifestation of Jesus Christ in my life. See, we talked the other night about being born again. People say, well, what is this born again? It is a spirit. When we talk about something that's born in the natural, it's when this little spirit takes a body and it starts forming in this little body. You bring a child in and this little spirit and this little child starts forming and you start seeing a personality of this little child. You start seeing it play and do these things. Then you grow it up, raise it up in the way it should go. Daddies train it and teach it. And then all of a sudden it's a vessel. It's something that's laboring and working and going. But now we're talking about born again. So now we have a place of this Spirit of God to come down and dwell in and start shaping it and forming it and leading it and guiding it and teaching it. Transformation of mind, this mind change, transforming into the mind of Christ. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. People are afraid. Well, I can't be equal with God. Yes, you can be equal with God because you are one with God and you become one with Him. See, people draw up with that. But I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You see, we're bone of His bone, flesh of his flesh. Amen. We can't overpower him or come greater than him. That's when you're cast out. But the thing is, we become equal with him. And you say, well, what do you mean equal? We're eternal. We live forever. We've passed from death unto life. We can't die. Amen. He's given us everything, he said, that pertaineth unto life. Amen. He's given us everything. He didn't hold anything back, he said. So, you know, that's awesome. He shared with us everything. If I took you into my house and said, hey, this is yours too. You can have anything you want. This is yours. We'll both live here and we'll both dwell here. But you can have anything you want. Do anything you want. This is just yours. It's mine and yours. You see, I loved you so much. I said, hey, man, be partakers with me. This is yours. You use it, do with it, whatever. That's what that one over there is. The Lord said, hey, this is yours. Live here, dwell here, man. Praise God. Amen. So, praise God. But this is what he's given me through all of eternity, brothers and sisters. He's given me the same thing. He's given me everything that pertaineth unto life. I'm going to close here pretty promptly, but we're going to speak for just a moment, make sure we clear up some things that would take hours and hours and hours if I started expounding on all the things that have been said here tonight, because so many of these little things that we speak about, if I was going to speak about differentiation between the body, soul, and spirit, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, amen, and we could keep you here all night long. You say, well, I know you probably could. If I wanted to start differentiating the rapture to the natural, physical, and spiritual, to water, blood, and spirit, all of these things, brothers and sisters, they just take hours and hours and hours. And you say, well, we've been taught these things, Brother Rob. Brothers and sisters, I've made an attempt and an effort to unveil some of these things from the sacred desk that you could receive the spirit of revelation. I'm just bringing forth a glimpse of it in an audible way. These things got to be spiritually discerned. They got to come by the Spirit of God. And I could make an attempt and an effort to speak these things by the revelation or by the mind of Christ, but you've got to receive them. And sometimes you're like a little child and they could hear the father speaking and they say, man, I understand what dad's saying. And it's the little toddler, you know, and all of a sudden, man, I understand dad wants me to have a mind to work and he's pushing a plastic lawnmower. But man, he's a big boy and he feels good about what he's doing. I say, amen. I don't mock that, brothers and sisters. That's precious life, amen. Growing and learning and wanting to be like their father. And I think that's a wonderful thing. You know, my little grandson, he's a little old fella, man. He's, I guess, about 3 years old, but daddy's got a skill saw. He wants a skill saw. So he's got a plastic skill saw. Daddy's got a hammer, so he's got a hammer. He's got his nail bags. He's got a little hard hat. Got his little work boots. He's got his little drill gun. He's got all these tools. And boy, if you listen to him talk, man, he'll build your house. He'll do anything for you. But you know, see, it's something that's looking up and admiring something as a father. And he wants to be like a father. You can't take that away from that child because that's where he's at. And there's sometimes, you know, in his mind, man, he says, you know, Pops, I'm going out on a dangerous job today. You know, but that's where he's at. That's in his mind. And this is, you know, and you wouldn't want to say, well, you ignorant little fella, man, what's wrong with you? Those tools don't work. That ain't no real skill saw. That's not, you know, why would you do something foolish as that? And when I look, and I would never speak against a baby in Christ, you know, and I say, yes, they got their eyes open. Yes, they're seeing something, just like this little child seeing something like, I want to be like that. I want these things. And there's his measure and his dimension. But brothers and sisters, one day, as if the Lord tarries and the little fella grows up, one day you'll see him with a real saw. You'll see him with a real screw gun. You'll see him with those things and you'll start utilizing those things, building and putting something together and being productive. And there's people that are in the same way in the mind of God. They see some things and they're joy about it and they're exuberant about it and this and that. And you know, you can't say, well, you know, really one day you'll really come through the revelation or really get your eyes opened up or you'll really see. But brothers and sisters, it's most definitely that way. I thank God for the children. I thank God for the ones that are small in the mind of Christ or in the mind of revelation and those things. I thank God for the ones that are walking a 30-fold, some in a 60. I thank God for that, brothers, because they're growing in the grace and knowledge of God. Amen. And when God really opens up and unveils and brings you through another dimension, another door into a higher place in the mind of Christ, amen, then you'll say, wow. And you'll see there's things that happen in your spirit that'll happen in your spirit. It don't have to be in the church. You might be home. You might be praying. You might be meditating. You might be driving. You might be doing something. But all of a sudden, something will quicken to you. And it'll be that quickening of the spirit of revelation. And it'll unveil and reveal. Who are you yielding your members to? Who and what of these three spirits is using your vessel? If you find yourself with uncontrollable rage and temper and anger, and you find perverse things coming forth out of you, is that Jesus Christ in you? Is that God speaking through you? Is that the mind of Christ that's talking? Who did you yield your members to? Who is it? And you say, oh, that was my human spirit. Then you need to get it sanctified, and you need to get it in the mind of Christ and let it come known to manifest. Amen. So when you find rage or anger or these things, hatred or animosity or those kind of things, does Jesus sit in front of a TV watching perversion and filth and soap operas? No. So if you're yielding your members to that kind of stuff and you're looking at unvirtuous and unclean things, what spirit is using that? If you find alcohol going down your throat, or find drugs going down your throat, or you find tobacco going into your lungs, or you find those kind of things, is that Jesus? Is he possessing your vessel? Is he taking and defiling your vessel? Would Jesus defile your vessel? No, but he's the God and the Spirit of holiness, amen? And he'll make you holy. You understand that? That's what he wants to do. He wants to possess your vessel, brothers and sisters. So we've got to learn. We were speaking about the sanctification there. And we know that the sanctification has to do with illumination, has to do with that filament, has to do with the Spirit coming in, and it's going to illumination in that soul realm, the second heaven, and that's the bridge between the body and the Spirit. So if we find that this bodily perspective has this soul dwelling there within, and the Bible said that we're not accountable to the deed of the body, but it's to the saving of the soul. So the soul is this illumination perspective, and which one of those spirits is illuminating in your body? If you see the illumination of the black light or darkness, and it's what's illuminating the rage, the wrath, the vengeance, the anger, the jealousies, the animosities, the strife, the fornication, the drunkenness, you know, if all those things are manifesting, then it's the wrong spirit that has dwelled in you to illuminate. Amen. So you've got to take, through the transformation of mind and through the authority of the Holy Ghost, and cast out all of those thoughts and all those things, and be made clean and pure by the washing and regeneration of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you got to put all that behind you, amen, and say, this is a vessel of honor. This has been washed by the blood of the Lamb. And now you possess this thing, and let the Spirit of God live and reign and dwell and be made manifest within you, the hope of glory. And you say, wow, this is what it's all for, saving my soul. No, it's for you could be a soul winner and be part with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not walking in the world to save my soul. I'm walking in the world to save other soul, because I'm bone and bone and flesh of the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are you tonight? Amen. Let's stand together. I love you and appreciate you. Appreciate your time tonight. There's so many more things could be said. I could keep you. I don't mean this in some kind of a puffed up for fleshly way, but we can get into the mind of Christ and the mind of revelation, and we can go for hours and hours and hours. So you say, why do you say that? Well, I'm saying this, that you need to be in a place of Christ, drawing and hungering for the things of God, that you can get caught away into the Spirit. I get behind the sacred desk, I don't feel tired. I don't feel like I've been on my feet for 3 or 4 hours. I just don't, it doesn't even come to my mind. Well, you need to get off your feet, you need to do this. Now, sometimes I get away and I walk away and I sit down, and then all that hits me. I'm like, wow. You know, but when you're behind the sacred desk ministering the gospel, that's not even there in a thought or any way, shape, or form. Amen. So it's God is what I'm saying. It's not the man, it's the Spirit of God. And if you could draw and hunger and thirst for his mind and his word, he'll help you, and you'll grow thereby the grace and knowledge of God, that you could be the illumination of the Lord Jesus Christ in this earth, that you could light the way for others to be born again, or to light your way for others to come into the kingdom of God, and you could be the light unto the path. You say it's his word is the light of the path, and I'm a written epistle, read and known of all men. That's a word, amen. And I'm the light on the path, amen, of others to follow. And you say, well, you think too highly of yourself. No, I don't think highly of myself whatsoever at all. I think highly of him, and it's him that lives. It's him that illuminates. He is the light, amen. And he says in his word that we are the light in the world, amen. So remember and take your rightful place as the body of Christ, amen, that you could be the light to bring good news of the gospel to others, that they could glorify and testify God, amen. God bless you. I appreciate you. Let's sing a song or two, and we shall close the service. Again, remember the ones that aren't here and pray for them. Amen. Hallelujah. He wants to use your vessel. He wants to use you to glorify his kingdom and to bring honor and glory unto him, because you are the glory of the Lord. You say, brother, the Bible says he won't give his glory to none other. And that's true. That's what the Bible says. But you're not a none other. You're bone and bone and flesh of the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a work, brothers and sisters, for you to do. There's people that are lost with no hope in this world of despair and darkness. And your work is to bring the light of the good news of the gospel unto them, and be a soul winner, and get the people out of religious darkness Thank you, Jesus. You love Him? Worship Him and praise Him, amen. He's your God, your King, your Lord, amen. He's your provider. He's your strength, your power. Hallelujah. We'll get my grandson, Andrew, to come up and dismiss the service.
Help my will to crumble.
Just pray that God could use you. Use your vessel for a vessel of honor that could bring glory to His kingdom, that you won't defraud any man in any way, shape, or form. But use your life for the utilization of the good news of the gospel, that you could be made perfect. He's already perfected you once and for all by His works at Calvary. But you're going to bring the works of perfection into a manifestation through the soul to bring an illumination that others could see the works of perfection that came forth from Calvary by the works of Christ, that they could see it in you and see what perfection truly is, that they could witness it with their own eyes to see the perfecting work of Jesus Christ in your vessel, a vessel of honor. Amen. God bless you.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.